This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A pilot program in 11 West Virginia schools aimed to train teachers to recognize signs of developmental trauma and provide an intervention specialist who can both support teachers and provide hands-on therapy for kids. Carol Lofton reports that as the program enters its third year, schools are seeing a big impact not only on kids' behavior, but also on their ability to learn.
My name is Liam Mathel.
Liam is 5 and a student at Madison Elementary School in Wheeling. He smiles shyly at Lisa Armstrong, his preschool teacher from last year, who has come to say hello.
You know what, Liam? I would like you to tell these ladies who this is. Who is this?
My mommy.
That's your mommy?
Mm-hmm.
Liam snuggles against the woman he calls Mom, who is actually his grandmother. Even though Liam lives with both his grandmother and his grandmother Pam Riggs has been his primary caregiver for the last 3 years.
Because his mother was in drugs, to drugs, and she suffers from, she probably because of drugs, she goes into depressions, she lays around a lot, she really didn't really play, except for being in the household, any role in Liam's education or anything.
When Liam started preschool last year, he was antisocial, hyperactive, and had very poor speech acquisition.
And that was a lot of his frustration because nobody knew what he said.
But Liam's introduction to school couldn't have come at a better time. Last year, Madison Elementary was in their second year of participating in the Crittenden Services-backed program called Trauma-Informed Elementary Schools, or TIES. The program was initially funded by the Benedict Foundation and grants from the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources.
At Madison Elementary, we serve many students that come from homes where a trauma has occurred.
That's Madison School Counselor Jessica Watts.
And that can be a whole gamut of things from neglect and abuse to hunger and incarcerations of family. Domestic violence, and things of that nature.
Watt says about 50% of Madison Elementary School students come from an unstable or traumatic home environment.
And when they come to school with brains that have been exposed to traumas like that, it often interferes with their ability to learn in a traditional way.
The TIES program trains staff on how to recognize signs of trauma and work around barriers to learning that trauma presents to children. Watts says it also helps with early identification of students with special needs and hooks them and their families up to community resources and mental health services so any issues that are present can be addressed. For Liam, that meant connecting him and his grandmother to a child psychiatrist who could prescribe him medication to assist with the hyperactivity. Lisa Armstrong, his preschool teacher, says after connecting the family to resources, the change was almost immediate.
Once Liam had seen the doctor and the appropriate measures were taken, Liam's behavior not only improved, but his social interactions were so much more positive with the other children.
Absolutely.
And he was so excited to be at school. But more than anything, learning truly began to take place, where before he was frustrated in his own skin.
School teachers and administrators say TIES isn't just about referring students and caregivers to community services, but also working with the TIES liaison, a master's level clinician, to help the children learn better emotional and behavioral coping mechanisms.
In West Virginia, we do see a lot of intergenerational traumas. We see a lot of adverse childhood experiences that exists that a lot of people are sort of coming from.
Joe King is the director of the program. Adverse childhood experiences is the theory that experiences like physical, sexual, or emotional abuse can have lifelong health implications.
You know, when I'm learning about all of this information about how trauma affects people across the lifespan, you sort of have this aha moment. I've been in the field of mental health and social services for 15 years, and you start to connect all the dots, and you realize that a large portion of the clients that you've been working with, throughout your whole career, have had a lot of these adverse experiences, and not only that, but the families have gone through maybe intergenerational traumas.
King says people are starting to realize that trauma is cyclical and a pattern exists. The hope with ties is that if they can disrupt the pattern, they might not only be able to help this generation, but generations to come. School counselor Watts says due to the training teachers received on how to recognize trauma in kids, they began to request safe spaces in their classrooms for kids to calm themselves down and self-regulate when they are coming into the building with rough starts.
And it's because of the training in trauma that they realized that oftentimes when kids are in bad moods and not able to learn, or they're what appears to be daydreaming and not paying attention, that there's really something much deeper going on in their little minds and in their little hearts.
King says early data shows promise as to how well the program is actually working, but that the numbers from the first 2 years are still getting crunched by social work students at West Virginia University. For people like Armstrong, Watts, and Riggs, though, the value is indisputable. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:50. A slight chance of light rain in the north today, becoming mostly sunny with highs in the 70s, partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the 50s, sunshine on Friday with highs in the upper 60s and 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925, local agents available at erieinsurance.com, and by the Clay Center, presenting Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Love and Comedy Tour, September 10th at 7 p.m. Tickets and information at theclaycenter.org. A new report spells out just how far Appalachia has fallen behind the rest of the country on key health measures. Mary Meehan explains the gap continues to grow.
Researchers found that despite improvements in rates of cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, people in the 13-state Appalachian region suffer from more of those diseases than people in the rest of the country. And the gap between the health of Appalachians and the rest of the country continues to grow. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky worked with the Appalachian Regional Commission to compile the report. ARC co-chair Earl Gohl says the data has never been examined in this way.
What we try to do is to bring together one place and to show how the region fits into the rest of the country, to look at how rural and urban communities differ.
He says the ARC is focused on the connections between health and economic development.
And we look at these issues and these challenges as something that limits and holds us back in terms of the growth of the region.
Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky Executive Director Ben Chandler says the report revealed Kentuckians are even sicker than most of Appalachia, which means much sicker than the rest of the country.
So we really are the cancer capital of the country in Kentucky.
And the report shows those high rates of disease can have deadly consequences.
As startling a number as any is the years of potential life lost. In other words, our people are dying sooner than people in the rest of Appalachia.
A second report, Bright Spots, will showcase how some regional communities are improving their health. But Chandler says there's no time to waste.
Not only do we have a serious problem, but we've got to act on it immediately.
Researchers hope their data may help narrow the widening health gaps in Appalachia. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Richmond, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Dave Mistich. I'm Teresa Wills.